Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are the masterpieces of His grace.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Jephthah's life got off to a terrible start. But, as we heard last week from Pastor Brian Grant, God was at work in this young man's life in ways that would transform him into one of the heroes of faith listed in God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. The story of Jephthah and how he became one of the powerful deliverers of Israel in spite of his sorry beginnings is a story of transforming grace that is still at work today. Here again is Pastor Grant with part two of his message, The Transforming Power of God's Grace.
Jephthah had been hanging out with the wrong crowd. But in Judges chapter 11 that we just read, verses 9 to 11, he decided to change direction and to start following God. As a result, Jephthah's legacy is amazing. Hold your finger right there in, where is it right now? Where's your finger right now? It's supposed to be in what? Judges chapter 11. Jump with me all the way over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And here's how Hebrews chapter 11 reads. Verses 30 to 34. There's a whole list of heroes of the faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. See right here again, Rahab, the harlot, she is included in the hall of faith. Then you get to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and who else? And Jephthah, this guy who was off to such a bad start, this guy who was hanging out with a bunch of guys the Bible says were worthless men, this guy whose life was heading absolutely nowhere, he came to a point in his life where he decided to change direction and ended up being listed as one of the heroes of the Christian faith. Can you imagine this? Of all the thousands of people, millions who lived, God chose to put this man whose siblings kicked him out, this man who was hanging out with the wrong bunch, God put him squarely in the middle of the heroes of faith. Oh, my brother and my sister, young man, young lady, no matter who you are, I want you to know God is not finished with you yet. God has a plan, amen. But if you're going to experience God's plan for your life, you've got to repent. Have you repented yet? Have you told God how sorry you are for sinning against Him? Have you asked Him to help you to change direction? You see, when you make a decision to change direction, you have to make that decision. But it's not you by yourself that's going to have to carry it out. Because on our own, we can't live the Christian life, but with the help of the Spirit of God. And the moment you come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and live in you. And He will give you the ability and the help you need to live a life that pleases God. God's grace had transformed Jephthah. And He will transform anyone who decides to repent and change direction. No matter what we have done, there is power in the blood. Amen? There is power in the blood. You know that song? There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Jephthah needed to learn the importance of repentance. But he also needed to learn, write this down, the importance of reconciliation. And I'm not going to spend too much time here because I don't want to go a little bit off tangent, but it's so important. He needed to learn the importance of reconciliation. Look at verse 4 here of Judges 11. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why are you here? You kicked me out. So all of a sudden you're here. The elders were the leaders of the tribe of Gilead. And although they knew when Jephthah's brothers were kicking him out, they did nothing. The elders of the tribe could have intervened. They had spiritual responsibility and authority. They did nothing. And Jephthah had suffered because of their inaction, and he wanted closure. So when the elders asked him for help, he brought the matter up. He said, aren't you the same ones? Allow me to be kicked out. Sadly, instead of dealing with problems, many of us prefer to pretend that things are okay. Am I right about that? You know, a lot of people like to kick things under the rug. The poor rug is bulging now. There is so much stuff under the poor little rug. But Jephthah dealt with the issue. He said, you allowed my brothers to kick me out. So why are you coming to me now just because you're in trouble? You know, if you're still hurting, I just want to say this to you. As I said, we're not going to dwell here. But if you're still hurting because of something someone did to you, or because you know someone is hurting because of something you did, come on now. All we can think about is what they did. Did you know you've done some stuff too? If you're hurting because of what they did, or they're hurting because of what you did, God has brought us all together this morning to say it's time for us to pursue reconciliation. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about reconciliation. And as believers in Jesus Christ, everyone who's a Christian, the Bible says God has given us the gift, the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us ought to be involved in making sure we're involved and there's no all of this stuff going on. And I don't have time to develop this, as I said, but I want to leave you with at least this scripture to chew on, okay? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Well, keep your finger in Judges because we're not finished there, but I just wanted to bring this in since it's in the text. Matthew chapter 18, and it's not only in the text, it's a problem in the world. Can I be honest? It's a problem in the church too. Matthew chapter 18. Just because we're saved and on our way to heaven, don't mean we don't have issues. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, it says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. What? Can somebody read it? Help me read it. Go and put it on the screen if you don't mind, my brother. I don't want you to lose your way. If you lose... It says, moreover, your brother, this is Matthew 18, verse 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You see, here's what you do. I don't want to go off track now. I have to stay with what I'm preaching on. But I could preach a whole message on this. Because the first thing we don't even tell him. We tell John, Mary, Jeremiah, Elijah. We tell all of them. And poor little Johnny, I don't remember, is it Johnny who was on? We don't even tell Johnny what he did. The Bible says, if Johnny
sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and Johnny alone. Have you started doing that? And if you have done the other thing, I'm going to encourage you today to ask God to forgive you for disobeying the word of God and not following the word of God. If you have been telling everybody else except Johnny, it's time to say, God, I was wrong, forgive me. Amen? If Johnny hears you, I hope you don't, if anybody hears Johnny, any Johnny here, I'm not talking about you. Hey, Brian, let's go, so Brian. No, better not use me. If Mercedes hear you, you have gained your sister. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. God did not put this in the scriptures just because he didn't have anything else to fill up the space. He says, go to Mercedes. And if Mercedes is not willing, then take Aston Martin and BMW along. I hope you know what Aston Martin is, a car. Okay. And if he refuses to hear them, probably a Ford, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. The Bible says, if you refuse to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Amen? This is the word of God. The Bible has a lot to say about reconciliation. And my brothers and sisters, I'm just going to leave those verses with you for the Spirit of God to do his work in your heart. But I want you to know that we as elders, we are here to help. And if somebody needs clarity or help in figuring what path you should be on, I just want you to know I, as well as all the other elders, are here to give you guidance and to help you as you determine to obey God's will. First, God's grace can transform us regardless of our history. Second, God's grace will transform us when we determine to follow him. And third, and finally, God's grace will transform us without requiring a bribe. Judges 11, 29. Now, just because I said finally doesn't mean I'm about to stop. It's the last point. Judges 11, verse 29 to 31. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. I don't have time. Here's another red thing, path I could go down that I don't want to go down, but I just want to give this to somebody in passing. There are some who would say that this path, because if you read the rest of the chapter, it will turn out that the first person to come out of his house when he returned was his daughter, his only child. And so some have concluded that he ended up sacrificing his daughter. But hey, some would point out to us that this text, there is a conjunction that has been translated in many of our Bibles as and they're saying that it could also have been translated as or, that same conjunction. Just so that the verse would read, it will be that whosoever comes out of the doors of my house when I return in peace from the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Or, if you continue reading the text, there is nothing in the rest of the text that suggests that he did offer his daughter. In fact, if you read verse number 39, And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father and he carried his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughter of Israel went forth each day to lament the daughter of Jephthah. There is no indication that she was killed, but she would never be able. She vowed she was celibate for the rest of her life. The penalty Jephthah paid in a culture where it was so important to have offspring, his only child had to be celibate. That was an incredible price. So he made this vow. He made a vow to God. God, if you will, I hope you understand what was going on. War was going on between Israel and the Amorites. And Jephthah's forces were winning, if you have an opportunity to read the text. But to make sure his good fortunes continued, Jephthah tried bribing God. Jephthah said, if you will do this, then I will do that. Most of us would say we never tried to bribe God. But do you know we sometimes try? If our son was in the hospital and the surgeon said things don't look good, we may be tempted to pray, Lord, if you save my son, I will start serving you faithfully. You ever heard somebody who's having financial trouble, they pray, Lord, if you deliver me from my... I will start serving you. I will start honoring you with my money if you solve my money problems. Or a single lady may pray, Lord, if you get me a good-looking Christian man, I'll start coming to church regularly. Now, we may not regard all this as bribing God. But why is it that we are promising to do something only if God does it? Did you see that? Why does God have to heal our son in order for us to serve him faithfully? Why does God have to solve your money problems before you start honoring God with your money? Why does he have to give you a husband before you can serve him faithfully? Listen, God does not have to be bribed, amen? Because God will transform our lives without anything, for all the benefits of salvation are F-R-E-E, free. All the benefits. Let me close that by going to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God does not have to be bribed. You don't have to do anything. You know, I've been to churches in some places where people were coming up all these stairs, about 1 mile of stairs in the sun, and on every stair they had to say a prayer. They're trying to make right with God. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You don't have to. I seen people on TV, they're staring in the sun. They're trying to get right with God. They're staring into the sun until they're blind. You don't have to do all of that. Because everything required for our salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. Here we are. Are you at Ephesians chapter 2 yet? Are you there yet? If you're there yet, say amen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. I want you to see this yourself. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? It is what, somebody? It is the gift. It is what? It is the gift. Salvation is a gift. It is free. It is the gift of God, not of works. I don't have to do anything for salvation. I don't have to bribe God. I don't have to do a thing. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Our salvation is free, free, free. Everything that was needed was paid for by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. But there's more. Because verse 10 has something that sometimes gets overlooked. The Greek word translated in verse 10, workmanship, is a Greek word poema, P-O-I-E-M-A.
The word poema is only used twice. This Greek word is only used twice in the New Testament. It is used here in Ephesians 2, and it's also used in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where the passage refers to God's creation as his masterpiece. You see, the word poema is the word masterpiece. Are you getting it? Ephesians chapter 2 is saying, for we are his masterpiece. We are his workmanship. No, we are his poema. We are his masterpiece. The believer in Jesus Christ is God's masterpiece. Only two masterpieces mentioned in scripture. In Romans chapter 1, the creation is regarded as a masterpiece. And which of us would not agree that this incredible creation is a masterpiece? Is there anything on the planet like what God did? He just spoke it into existence. Oh, if I had time, we could talk about some of the stuff we have seen. Listen, creation is his masterpiece. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, he says there is another masterpiece. You are my masterpiece. Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are the masterpieces of his grace. Oh, yes, they say the Mona Lisa is a masterpiece. And when we were there last month, some of our members went to visit the Mona Lisa, regarded as perhaps the greatest work of art in history. $1 billion. Listen, but we are God's masterpiece. You'd have to pay over $1 billion to get the Mona Lisa. But what God is offering is free, free, free. God will transform your life. And I just want to leave you with the extent of the transformation. When God is finished with you and he's finished with me, God says, I have converted you into my masterpiece. And it's all available for free. Yes. Jesus paid it all. And today he offers you, my friend, no matter how messed up you might be, the God who changed Jephthah is the God who can change your life. Amen. If you would come to him and open our heart and say, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Thank you that you did all I needed to be saved. But you know, by the way, salvation is a gift. But a gift is not yours. Until what? Until you receive it. You have got a decision to make. God has done everything. Salvation is available. But you've got to receive it. Lord Jesus, here I am. Receive me as your son, as your daughter. I need to hear you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.